Good morning, everyone. Let's get started. Welcome to this council work session. Charlie Hales, Mayor.
Teresa Elliott.
Nick Fish.
Anyone else? Heidi in the back. Okay. Well, welcome everyone. Commissioner Fish, you ready to get us started?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes. So welcome to the work session. This is Mike Stewart's first work session since he was appointed the director of the Water Bureau. And this is Teresa Elliott's first major event since she was named chief engineer. And for those of you that read the Daily Journal of Commerce, yes, that is Teresa on the cover. And in addition to getting this important position, she's the first woman to ever occupy this position in the Water Bureau's history. So congratulations and welcome. Colleagues, we have a lot to cover in the next hour. Each of you has a notebook, and the Bureau has put up some boards, and we'll get right to it. The Water Bureau and my office are committed to transparency and to involving the Council in all of our key decisions. The purpose of this work session is to update you on two important projects coming to Council later this fall, the Willamette River Crossing and the Washington Park Reservoir Project. Now, as you know, there are three main areas where we generally invest our capital improvement dollars: aging infrastructure, compliance with state and federal laws and regulations, and seismic resilience. And I say that for Steve's benefit. We already know that the Washington Park Reservoir Project is part of our LT2 obligation. Today, you'll also learn about why these two projects are so critical to delivering high-quality water service to Portland's west side in the event of an earthquake. And you'll also learn about some of the challenges we face based on some new scientific evidence about the location of where we're going to bury our reservoirs. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mike Stewart for the presentation. Mike?
I'm going to stand up and talk and point at these slides. Here's what we're going to go through today. Briefly, we'll talk about the Willamette River Crossing Project. Then we'll talk about Washington Park Reservoir improvements. We'll go over why the project is important, what we've done to solve the challenges at the site, impact to water rates, a brief discussion of alternatives that we looked at, and then tell you what the next steps are. I'm joined today by Teresa Elliott, who's our chief engineer, Cecilia Hoon, who's our finance director, and Jeff Winters, our capital program manager. So if you all would flip to slide 3. These two projects are critical to the Water Bureau's seismic resilience efforts in the city. In the case of one of these projects, it's also a compliance project for LT2. One of the key things to keep in mind is the reservoir on the west side of the river supplies water to 360,000 people and the downtown core. The downtown core represents something like $8 billion a year in business for the city, and it's critical that post-earthquake we'd be able to provide that water. So what is our real challenge here? And I would refer you to this pretty map, which I like a lot. We have 5 crossings across the Willamette River in the downtown core. In our seismic vulnerability assessment, we determined that 3 of those, at least, will fail just due to liquefaction. Can't tell you which of the 3, it's a statistical modeling exercise, but the science in doing the analysis is pretty settled. Then if you look at this map and you look at what's going to happen to the bridges, all of our water lines are either on or on the river bottom adjacent to a bridge. And you can see that they're going to be damaged, and making a bet on which one of those might survive is probably not a good thing. So our challenge, and the challenge answered by these two projects, is we have to get the water under the river, and then we have to have a place to put it. Washington Park Reservoir is the only large reservoir on the west side of the river. It's the key to supplying water to the whole west side. So if you want to flip again to slide 5. Next one. The first project is the Willamette River Crossing Project. This project is listed right now at $57 million. It's a low confidence estimate, although I think it's a fairly good number if you understand how we got there. Basically, we did a study. We brought in a contractor that does horizontal directional drilling and an engineering firm, and we looked at basically two methods to move underneath the river. We looked at standard tunneling operation and something called horizontal directional drilling. And as a result of that study, we determined that horizontal directional drilling would be the best way to go. I would also tell you that the small city of Newburgh has done that underneath the Willamette River. So that will take the project under the river, and then we have the challenge of putting that water someplace. We plan on bringing this project to council to get approval for an alternative procurement for design build. Next, 42 inches, sir. Yes. We'll be working in public right-of-way around public facilities, so we know generally where those will be. So the next slide is about Washington Park Reservoir Improvement Project. I thought I would show you this big, pretty picture. This is where we're going, we hope. This is what the site will look like. Down here below is Reservoir 4. Its function will be an overflow, because we're required by state law to have an overflow. And this here is a reflecting pool, and underneath that is a 12 million gallon tank. That's where the reservoir is, and we're going to tell you a lot more about that. On your slide, you can see kind of the general time schedule. 2008, Commissioner Leonard directed us to be prepared to comply with LT2. Prior to that, we were doing legal challenges and so on, and we really weren't allowed to work on this project. In 2012, council authorized CMGC for this project, and I feel we were once again very lucky. We hired an exceptionally good geotechnical engineer, Cornforth Consultants. I think they're one of the best in the business. AECOM, a very good structural designer, and did Powell Butte's design for us. And our contractor is Hoffman Construction. I think that's certainly one of the best construction firms in the Northwest. And we began working on the project. The project itself has been in the budget since 2010-11 and listed as a major project in 2012 and 13. There's a long history of legal challenges and so on, which I think most of you are familiar with. In 2013, we were directed to move forward with LT2 reservoir compliance, and our studies since then have brought us to this point. We should be on slide 7 now. Washington Park Reservoir is the key to seismic resilience for the water system on the west side. It is the hub for all of our pipe systems. We provide water for 3 hospital complexes, the OHSU complex. It serves downtown core, $8 billion worth of business, and the site is also a historical landmark. Flipping to slide 8, you can see the area served by Washington Park. The three hospital complexes are Good Samaritan, OHSU, the whole OHSU complex, and the Veterans Administration Hospital. That's why I have to write them down, because I always forget one. Slide 9, we've gone through an extensive public outreach process. Basically, since the beginning of this project, we've tried to bring the neighbors and the community along. We worked very carefully with the Landmarks Commission and other parties to make sure that what we were doing complied with our historical requirements and respected the site's history, and also brought them along on all the other design features. We've had 9 meetings with a community sounding board. We've had feedback in 5 open houses, 2 real open houses, face-to-face open houses, and we did also 3 virtual open houses. And I think as we have proceeded through the Historic Landmarks Commission, I think the work that Teresa and her group has done has been very appreciated. And at least as far as the surface features go, we have concurrence of the neighbors. 10, site challenges. Right now, we're at the 90%. And I should show you a little bit about what we've got, what that means. The 90% design, I don't know if you want to pass those around, maybe. Those are the geotechnical reports, and they're missing 1,000 pages of appendices. I didn't want to drag them in here. This is an extremely complex site. This thing was written in 1903. It's an ASCE journal called A Phenomenal Landslide. And it's a whole journal that's dedicated to this landslide after the building of the reservoirs and what they learned at that time. So it's definitely a very challenging site. Yes. Yes. Now, in that design, and I'm going to talk more about this in a minute, these projects start out years ago with a note. In this case, this project honestly started out with a note from me to my staff when I was chief engineer that said, $60 million, get with it. And I'll tell you a little bit about where we got that. Now, where we're at today, and I'm not going to try and pass this around because it's tons of paper. This is the 90% design documents and the design report. So the numbers I'm going to show you today are very accurate. They're in the city's parlance, moderate to high confidence. And by the time we bring this to council, sometime in December, we'll be at high confidence. But there's been an awful lot of work done here by the consultants and staff to get these projects to this point. Let's go to slide 11. So you can see a picture of the landslide. Basically, the two reservoirs are the bottom of the landslide, and the landslide goes all the way up to the Japanese garden. Yeah, it's a very large slide. As part of this design process, we've put over 50 boreholes in the project. We've done literally hundreds of soil samples and various types of laboratory testing of the soil and the rock. All of that was completed in those 3 geotechnical reports, and you'll note that the latest geotechnical report was September of 2015. And this was proceeding apace with our design efforts. Slide 12. So I'm going to briefly talk about this slide, and then I'm going to walk you through how we built this and solved the challenges that we have faced. Drinking water storage, that's the purpose. We have to store drinking water. And in doing that, we have to deal with weak soil conditions, we have to deal with a landslide, and we have to deal with a subduction zone type of earthquake. But I'd point out up here on this slide that's got the bridges on it, You see this gold line? Subduction zone is not the only earthquake we have to be worried about. Portland Hills fault is a magnitude 6 capable fault. That would do some fairly serious damage. So the subduction zone earthquake, it's the big one. It's the one we try and design to when we comply with the resilience plan, but it's not the only fault that we need to be worried about here. Reservoir 4 site, we're using Reservoir 4 site to take care of the material that we take out of Reservoir 3 because we get to fill up part of Reservoir 4 because its role is changing. We don't need all those gallons, and the weight serves to restrain the slide. Another big challenge here is it's a very confined site. We could, if this were not a beautiful city park, dig a big hole. And this might be a bunch cheaper if we could do that. But we're trying to protect the site, maintain the park as usable as we can. So there are challenges with that too, and I'll go through them.
So are you just going to put the flow in there?
Teresa?
Out the current structure?
We are poking holes in Reservoir 4 so that we have some drainage, but otherwise, yes, that's what we're planning to do.
So if I could refer you to slide 13, we'll talk about the easy thing first. This is Reservoir 4. Its function is going to be kind of a wetland, and it has the volume that's required. We fill it up so that the remaining volume that's left open is what's required from Oregon Health Authority for the overflow for Reservoir 3. We move the material, the concrete, rubble, and so on, that we take out of Reservoir 3 on a conveyor belt down here, and we place it in the Reservoir 4 area, and that both gets rid of the material without trying to haul it all through town, and it also serves to add weight to the toe of the slide, which is a good thing. The slide stays put a little bit longer. Next, slide 14, strengthening the site. So if you look at 14, the first thing we do is we build the upper temporary shoring wall. That's so we can work in there. Then we put in a permanent shoring wall and the bench, that's the gold-colored stuff, and that's just basically a cut bench, native soil. We remove the concrete from the inside of the reservoir. So on the right side, as you're looking at the picture, the retaining walls stay put. They help protect both against construction effects. They keep us from excavating a big hole into more of the park, and they become part of the structural system in the end. So if you go to the next slide, where it says landslide and seismic resilience, and there's a cross-section here that makes this a little bit clearer, but the big blue thing that you see, that's the tank. The green thing is a mechanically stabilized earth wall, and this will become clearer on the cross-section. That helps hold the landslide. It's basically a big mass of earth that's all tied together, so it won't go anywhere. And then the pink things that you see wrapped around here, kind of in an envelope, are what's called a compressible occlusion. It's at the bottom 5 feet thick, at the top it's 9 feet thick, and it's designed that if the slide moves and squeezes in on this, it will compress. And we've done a design analysis, and even with the earthquake, if the earthquake happened and we imagine the maximum movement possible, we'll get a 75-year life, even then. If you don't have the earthquake, then it'll be another 100-year tank or whenever it becomes time to replace it again, and I'll be retired by then. So to really understand what's going on here, in a typical reservoir, if you go to the next slide, this is a concrete box, okay? That's like Powell Butte or Kelly Butte. It's a big concrete box. There's some pipes that come out of it, but there's nothing tricky then. It's just buried in there. That's about $76 million to do something like that. with this volume. What this slide is, I think about this as two projects, really. We have a project to build a tank, and then we have a project to build an envelope, a safety bubble, a bubble wrap around this tank to protect from the landslide and the earthquake. So those parts I talked about, over here on this slide, you can see the green stuff. That's right here. That's the mechanically stabilized earth wall. It basically ties that whole mass of earth together to resist the slide. Underneath, one of the things we learned in doing all this geotechnical exploration is that it's quite a ways down in many places to what's called competent rock. So we have drilled shafts that go down to competent rock. The gold bars or tan, whatever color you want to call that, are through soil and weak rock, and the heavy-duty brown stuff is incompetent basalt. And over here on the right side are tiebacks that tie this shoring wall up here together. And in between, you see the pink stuff is the compressible occlusion to protect against soil movement. And on top of all that, we put the historical features. So that's the project. Now, this thing was $76 million. How did this all start? Okay, how do projects start and how do they grow? So here's a normal tank. And it's above ground. That's geotechnical ease for ground. It's got a simple spread footing. You build a tank on top. There's lots of ways to estimate that. In the beginnings of a project, you use estimating factors, and the factors that were alive at the time is someplace between $1 and $2 a gallon. So we knew that this had to be 15 million gallons, or that's what we thought at the time. So I said, well, we don't know what this project is really going to be like, so I multiplied $1 by 4 times 15, and you end up with 60 million, roughly. That's where this project started out in 2009 before we had anything. So it's basically a little piece of paper that told staff, which was Teresa, get with it. Now we need to do all of our design studies. As late as 2013, in one of the studies that we had done, this turned into $76 million. But as we continue to explore this site and find out all of its little intricacies for modern design, my profession, I'm a geotechnical engineer by profession, it didn't exist in 1900. It didn't show up until the 1930s. Arthur Casagrande and a guy named Carl Terzaghi. They didn't know a lot of the things we knew. So our explorations have led us to the design that you see. I'm going to find my notes here. Any questions on that? So if you go to slide 18, it said 62.3, 2009 estimate. And I have a note to myself here, 2013, 76.3 million. That's after our basis of design report. It's one of the early reports we do in something like this. If you go to 19, you'll see the price tag for this is 170 million. And I would say, the way I look at it, we have two projects. We have a tank, that's a fairly simple proposition, and a bunch of pipe, and then we have this envelope wrapped around this tank to protect the tank from seismic event and the landslide.
I just want to comment. This Mike and I have a slight disagreement about language. He calls it an envelope. I call it a fortress. We agree it's a second project, but this sectional looks like a fortress, and the amount of work that has to be done to stabilize this is really staggering. And so in any event, it is a second project, and that's why we felt it was important to come back and reveal to you the new reality based on the geotechnical.
So if you trip to slide 20, the rate and bill impacts, net increases, because there is money in the budget for both of these projects. So we're talking about the additional is 0.9% every year over the next 5 years. That's the rate impact, or about $2 a month by the fifth year on someone's bill, a residential ratepayer's bill. Another interesting pause, going to slide 21. We thought this project was going to be a five-year project. We have since determined it needs to be a seven-year project. We need to take a two-year pause to let the ground and the tanks settle. You've probably seen this and maybe not known what you've seen, but you'll often see highway interchanges, the ramps. The earthwork has been done, and it sits there for a couple of years. Sometimes that's due to lack of funds, but often it's due to let the ground settle. And we need to let the ground settle here before we put the historic features, the reflecting pool, and so on top. So there'll be a two-year gap. The park will be open except the construction area. And then when it comes time to put the historic features on top, we'll have to close some of the roads off and trails again. Yes, and I'll show that a little more clearly on the next slide, 22. We have a compliance deadline. And as soon as we complete the tank, we'll put the tank in service. So it will be in service. That serves another purpose. It's 1 million tons. I don't know what the tonnage is, but anyway, the tank's full and it's much heavier, and that helps the settlement take place, what settlement that there's going to be. So you can see the schedule change. We meet the LT2 compliance date regardless, but we have to take this pause so that the ground can settle, and that doesn't, we don't create problems for ourselves with the reflecting pool and the other pertinent facilities. Slide 23, alternatives analysis. I'm not sure what year that left picture is, but if you stood on top of the Portland building, it's 290, I think. Yeah, I wouldn't, but if you did, and looked horizontally at the hills, that is the elevation of Reservoir 3. So in doing this, between 2002 and 2009, we did a whole bunch of studies. Is there a better place to put this? Is there a better place to deal with this? And the truth is, Isaac Smith did a very good job back in 1894. This location he picked, it's all based on elevation, is the best spot to put it, and he did. If you moved it to some other place, there are slide possibilities. I won't say there's a huge number of slide possibilities, but you would deal with slide possibilities elsewhere, and you have another challenge to think about. Right now, these big pipes go to Washington Park and come from Washington Park. And if you were going to move, never mind thinking about whether you could actually do that or not, you would have to move the piping system, and the disruption would be much, much greater than what we're doing. We're basically using the existing piping system, and the disruption is pretty much confined to the park. We don't think so, and we looked at that. The cost of moving these large diameter pipes is huge. You'd have to redo all the explorations and so on, the same pile of things that you see there we would have to redo. I think that in terms of cost, this is the cheapest. There are other challenges that we would face also, and that would be dealing with this reservoir, which would now not be connected to the water system. So overall, I think that this is the best place for the system, and yes, it's expensive, but it will last 100 years. Yes, sir. Yes. There's always risk, particularly when you're doing underground work. You cannot say that there is no possibility of what in engineering parlance we call an unforeseen site condition. But we've drilled 50 holes in this site, which is very atypical for a site that's this small. Because of the weights and so on involved in the landslide and the earthquake. And I think I'm really comfortable with what we did. We've had the best in the business working on this, and I think we've come up with a very good solution that will provide water if we happen to have a subduction zone earthquake before any of us retire. So we think we've nailed that. Right now we're at the 90%. I'm not telling you that my confidence is high, but my confidence is higher than moderate. And we've got some more issues to work through, but I think we've had the best in the business working on this, and I'm very comfortable with what we have done. So next steps. So for Washington Park, we have updates to do. We have some land use actions to complete. We're dealing with the comments from the 90% design, and we'll hack our way through that. And we anticipate bringing this project, Washington Park project, to council probably December or January. Willamette River Crossing, soon we plan on bringing Willamette River Crossing to council. And we'll be looking for approval for an alternative procurement. We want to do this by design build. And that's kind of where we stand. So we're prepared to answer questions.
Mayor, I had one additional fact I want to put on the table just for your consideration. I'll just pose it as a question to Mike. When the Bureau originally did cost estimates for the suite of projects that were required to comply with LT2. And you talked to the council about that, the number, the aggregate number for all the projects. What was the number we used and when?
It's, I think originally the number was $403 million. If you put the additions on to that number generated by this project, it's $421 million, which is something around 5% increase. The construction cost index increase in that same time period has been 17%. So overall project, but the suite of projects, I don't think it's grown much less than inflation, although this is a large price tag.
And the other thing I just wanted to put on the table to salt the discussion, Cecilia, maybe you could address this, is we've had a lot of success over the years scrubbing the forecast number and getting it down to the actual number. And one of the reasons is the forecast tends to be a very conservative number, and it gets scrubbed in light of inflation, in light of information we get from OMF, in light of cost savings. A number of our capital construction projects have come in under budget, and on and on and on. So the number goes from an estimate to a lower number. We also have a pretty healthy reserve of what's called rate stabilization fund. And that currently has about how much in it? $34 million. So I just want to preview for my colleagues. While I've asked them to give a conservative estimate about rate impact, I also would like them to come back to council with some options so that we can look at ways of reducing the impact by using our full toolkit. Rate stabilization. Obviously, the annual exercise depends on where inflation is. This year, for example, retirees are not getting a cost of living increase. So we continue to be in a low inflation environment, which is good for our overall cost structure. But the number we put in terms of rate impact is a conservative number, and I've asked the Bureau through the budget process to make sure the Council is apprised of options so we can scrub that number, because we continue to be committed to stabilizing rates. And the reason you have a robust rate stabilization fund is precisely to even out any of these kinds of unforeseen events where there's a spike.
So the 0.9% rate impact every year over the next 5 years is attributable to the difference between $76 million and $160 million for this project?
Yes, it's the difference between what was budgeted already, because there's money for both projects is built into the budget. And Jeff might want to chime in a little more, but that's what we're dealing with. It's just the added cost of basically our fortress, I think.
And you're not using design build for the Washington Park?
No, we did that with CMGC. It's an alternative procurement, but CMGC, and as I said, I think we're able to put together what I would think is a star team, Hoffman Construction, AECOM, and Cornforth with Landslide Consultants.
I don't have any questions, but I did want to say that these projects are among the most important. In fact, they might be the most important that the city will consider for the foreseeable future. I can't think of anything more important than ensuring that the entire west side of the city has water after an earthquake. And I also wanted to tell you, Mike, the new commissioner, that when I'm asked about seismic issues and I'm out in the public and people ask, what is the city doing to prepare, I always tell them, my hat's off to the Water Bureau, because the Water Bureau is doing at least as much as any other entity, public or private, in the city to ensure that the city will survive the earthquake. So obviously these are big numbers. There will be a rate impact, but it's vitally important. And I'm incredibly grateful to the Water Bureau for putting in all this planning, taking this issue seriously, and coming up with these detailed proposals.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor, I have just wanted to make sure before we wrap up that any questions or issues that colleagues have, we get back to you on. You've drilled down a little deeper into the alternatives analysis, and we'll get you some additional information on that.
I'd like to see just what the options were mm-hmm. have been considering. The options are still there, obviously, but for only a little while longer.
You know, the main option was condemning Joe Angel's house and putting a reservoir there and spreading it into Arlington Heights. And we rejected that one for a number of reasons. In addition, we want to make sure through the budget process that Council has all the information to help get to the right proposed rate. And again, I want to emphasize that we have a rate stabilization fund, and we have other tools to try to soften the impact of unforeseen costs. And I have a lot of confidence in this team in managing the rates so that there's no sticker shock on this one. And we'll document that and make sure the Council is comfortable with the approach. I guess, Mayor, the last thing is we are currently on schedule to go back to the community and have additional briefings on this with our sounding board and with our key partners. We have some land use proceedings that we're moving on. And then we have, Mike has identified the schedule in which we would be currently proposing to come back to Council with proposed contracts and updates. Obviously, we welcome feedback from the Council about that timeline. We welcome any and all questions. And our current goal is to move forward and manage this the best we can and do it the most transparent way.
Actually, I do have a question, which is that what's the infrastructure connecting to the reservoir going to look like? How many is there going to be redundant Willamette River crossings going to the reservoir?
No, we're only planning on building the one crossing, but it's going to be it's about 80 feet below the bottom of the river in solid rock. and pipelines in solid rock that are encased do very, very well in an earthquake. I can't guarantee that there won't be something happen to it, but from a seismic design point of view, we think that one crossing, given that maybe one of the others will survive, and we still have the Washington County supply line. That doesn't do very much for downtown, but pushes water to our west side suppliers. So I think...
What's the seismic position of the west side supply line?
It's been built fairly recently, so we think it's reasonably good. We would consider it a modern construction. We would probably build something tougher now because the codes have changed, but we think it's adequate. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I think even I was in